You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And shocking news today from Montlake as UW football coach Chris Peterson announced his resignation after 6 years as Husky head coach. I still don't quite know what to make of this.
I don't know what to say. It's like...
Not usually a problem for the Pelton cast, not knowing what to say.
We expected there to be changes on this Husky coaching staff this offseason. We did not expect this.
I don't even think the fire Coach Pete lobby, to the extent that it actually existed, more than one or two jack-offs on Twitter. I don't even think they expected it.
Jack-offs on Twitter?
Like, you're coming off of the best three-year stretch that this program has had since Don James's similarly shocking resignation, differently timed, certainly. That was more shocking, but...
I feel like the Don James resignation, we had... I don't remember this. I was, seven? But it makes sense, the set of circumstances that preceded it. This is, one slightly down season, and the coach who you're expecting, if you're a Husky fan, is going to be the Husky football coach for the next decade at least, is just gone.
And I don't know how much, we'll see what Coach Pete says in explanation as the story continues to develop. I don't know how much the down season really had to do with it, as opposed to just, he wasn't someone whose life is centered around being a football coach as some other football coaches. Like, there's some coaches who, they're coaching right up into the minute that they can't do it anymore, and then that's it. And Chris Peterson has never given off those vibes. He's always been a more well-rounded personality than that.
Nothing is knowable. Tomorrow is not promised.
Wow.
Live each day to its fullest.
I mean, I hope that we lived the Apple Cup on Friday to its fullest.
It's just, it's so hard to predict things in football and life at any time, what's going to happen. And this is emblematic of that, because this news came far out of left field.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, no one was expecting this. There's a weird symmetry here. 6 years ago today, Steve Sarkisian announced his departure for USC.
The very day?
To the very day. Also on a day the Seahawks were hosting Monday Night Football.
Wow!
I don't know what the odds are of that happening. I mean, it's interesting.
It's kind of crazy even that the Seahawks host Monday Night Football on the same day.
Yes. But precisely the same day because of leap years. Also on Monday, December 2nd.
I kind of have chills because of that.
So we're going to talk about Chris Peterson's legacy a lot at the end of this podcast.
Wait. Let's recall that day that you're talking about, because I remember sitting around your kitchen table in Boulevard Park, Washington, talking about what the Huskies would do without Coach Sark, which I think we recognized at the time was something to be concerned with, but also maybe a little bit hopeful, right? That there might be somebody better on the horizon. Chris Peterson was a name that was bandied about, and they went out and got Chris Peterson, and he led them to the promised land.
But you'll recall from that podcast, he wasn't someone we were thinking about at the top of the list in terms of, he was definitely at the top of the list in terms of ideal candidates, but not in terms of likelihood. That podcast was mostly focused on Jim Elmora. So
again, nothing is knowable.
Life comes at you fast.
Tomorrow is not promised. But don't forget that the Seahawks went out and won that game and then won many games after that, including Super Bowl 48.
It's true. So let's hope the symmetry continues here.
And let's hope that the Huskies can go out and that the next coach of this team, and Jimmy Lake, is as good as Chris Peterson was over the next 6 years.
Yeah, so I think that naturally transitions us into talking about where the Huskies go from here. And they're in a good position as a program. That's the exciting part of this.
Talk me off the edge. I'm not joking. Right now, what I'm seeing is with Chris Peterson, we had we were so privileged in the city to see such great and legendary football coaches, not just as football coaches, but also as people, right? People who you could really respect in a lot of different ways. Chris Peterson and Pete Carroll. And it's like, one of those has been ripped from our hands. Somebody who, again, we felt like we would have forever. Talk me off this ledge. How is it going to be okay? We went to the College Football Playoff, to the Fiesta Bowl, and to the Rose Bowl in three consecutive years. Even in a down season, they still beat Wazoo. How is it going to be okay?
I mean, the good news, and you mentioned it off the top, is they had a natural successor on staff in Jimmy Lake. Someone who is ready for this opportunity, deserved this opportunity, and was going to get this opportunity somewhere else if Chris Peterson had stayed at UW. I mean, it's impossible to know what at this point what Coach Pete was thinking, but it's interesting to wonder if that was part of the thinking. Like, the worst thing that could have happened was, you know, Jimmy Lake gets another head coaching job, you know, somewhere else this offseason, and then next year Coach Pete decides it's time to step away, and there's not that clear and obvious successor on the staff anymore, having previously lost Jonathan Smith to become a head coach at Oregon State. So, I mean, that's I think, where you start, is Jimmy Lake's track record. This is someone who has had tremendous success in continuing to add more and more responsibility over the course of his time at UW. Comes with Coach Pete from Boise State as, you know, he was, I believe, the passing game defensive coordinator at Boise State, but, you know, primarily strictly in charge of the defensive backs, with at that point Pete Kwiatkowski holding the defensive coordinator title, which, you know, he continued to hold. In 2016, Lake adds the co-defensive coordinator title with Kwiatkowski, the more experienced. And then in 2018, becomes the primary defensive coordinator, starts calling plays on the sidelines. And there's been a consistent track record of success of the defense over that span. Since that happened, you know, since he first got the co-defensive coordinator title in 2016, the UW defense is ranked 7th, 16th, 15th, and this year 13th, respectively, in ESPN's Football Power Index efficiency rating.
So you're saying it's going to be okay?
I mean, so what I'm saying first off is, you know, you look at the success this defense had, particularly over the last 3 weeks of the season, even with that loss to, or the last three games, because there was like five bye weeks in there. Even with the loss to Colorado mixed in there, the success that the secondary, that the defense had down the stretch with a really young group of players, most of whom will likely be coming back next season. And then you add to that, you know, in addition to the experience you gain, Selvel Smalls coming in is one of the best recruits that UW has ever landed.
As far as we know, this could completely open up his recruitment, though.
I mean, I think that's one of the places where promoting from within, maintaining that continuity, you know, I have to assume that Jimmy Lake was an important part of his recruiting process in addition to Chris Peterson. So I think that's one of the factors here, above and beyond the success that he's had defensively, is promoting Jimmy Lake presumably makes it easier to retain this recruiting class.
It's just, okay, Jimmy Lake doesn't have the juice. You know what I mean? Like, Chris Peterson had that moment in the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma, where it's like he was on the map in that second as a head coach. When he came to UW, he was the winningest coach percentage-wise in all of college football history.
Okay, but I think we need to go back a second then, because there was this legitimate question of, is Coach Pete's shit going to work in a major conference? That was a legitimate question in 2013 when he was hired by UW. And lo and behold, he proved, because we've seen a lot of coaches that go from, you know, being very successful as the big fish in a small pond and can't necessarily translate that when, you know, suddenly it becomes much more about successfully recruiting to keep up with the talent elsewhere in your conference. That didn't prove the case for Coach Pete at all. Who,
the biggest fish. He wasn't a big fish in a small pond. He was the biggest fish to have ever been in a small pond.
Yeah, that's arguably
didn't
true.
Didn't Nick Saban coach at Toledo?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, most coaches get their start there. Urban Meyer at Utah when they were still in the Mountain West would probably be another example of that. But, you know, now has gotten UW's recruiting to a point where they've been in the top 15 of ESPN Recruiting Nation's class rankings each of the last 4 years. And this year's class at this point, the highest ranked of those at number 14 overall.
Okay. All so, right. So I've been mulling this over.
Okay.
Trying to make myself feel better about this, because it just off the top of my head, like my gut reaction to legendary coach or whatever, big name coach leaves, and then person from within the system gets promoted. The thing that comes to mind to me is not even in any individual, but it's just like, it never works. I mean, Jim Lambright is the one that is the most obvious one. But like,
I think Lambright's tenure was more successful than it's remembered as. His winning percentage at UW was not that different from Chris Peterson's.
It just never seems to work. But so I'm trying to think through like recent examples of this. And I mean, there are definitely quite a few. Like, there are programs that were huge programs and that have become small programs when a coach left.
If only there were an example this year of a team that lost a longtime successful coach and was successful promoting a coordinator who had led, a promising young coordinator who had led the better of their two units. I can't think of it. Oh, Ohio State, who is the best team in the country.
Okay,
that's literally what happened.
This is one year, though. You can hang on to it for a year, but what about the next year, and the next year after that, and the next year after that?
I mean, we'll see what ends up happening.
The ones that came to mind for me, though, that make me feel a little bit better is, where did David Shaw come from? Was he part of the Jim Harbaugh system?
I think so. I think he was the defensive coordinator.
Because I would say that David Shaw...
Offensive coordinator? That'd be amazing.
Pep Hamilton. Is Pep Hamilton still coaching somewhere?
I am sure he is coaching somewhere.
Somebody's got to be running the ball somewhere.
No, David Shaw was the offensive coordinator. Pep Hamilton came in when Shaw took over. So there you go.
So David Shaw probably has been more successful than Jim Harbaugh was, even, or at least has had longer sustained success than Jim Harbaugh had.
Yes.
There was Chip Kelly taking over from Mike Bellotti, legendary Oregon coach. So those are two where it's like, okay, there was this coordinator who, I'm not going to say that David Shaw definitively is better than Jim Harbaugh, but like, David Shaw has become a coach on his own. Yeah. He has a name unto himself. Chip Kelly became a much bigger name than Mike Bellotti instantly. And so maybe it's the type of thing where, not that Chris Peterson was holding Jimmy Lake back, but that the team will continue to be just as good as they were, better next year because they're more experienced, and Jimmy Lake will just build a name for himself quickly.
And you talk about the juice that Chris Peterson had, which, again, like I said, didn't seem to guarantee him recruiting when he first got here to UW. The other aspect of it is, you want to make the case for Jimmy Lake. Number one, he has put his guys in the NFL every single year, repeatedly. Sark's guys that now this group, this coaching staff recruited, it's been continually happening from the secondary in particular and the defense in general. And I think that's a really strong aspect of recruiting. Like, if I know that I am going to, you know, if I work hard and I'm successful, I'm going to make it to the NFL because of, you know, your coaching and the exposure I'm going to get in your system, then that's where I want to be, is a hypothetical 4 or 5 star recruit, which, you know, I really can empathize with those kind of players. Yeah. It's very similar to my decision to attend UW.
I mean, you live not that far from Kennelly High School, so
it's true. Very, very.
You've close. Probably been to the same Fred Meyers of Ellis Falls.
I probably have been there this morning. I think the other thing is just, you know, his personality hasn't really been unleashed. We got a taste of it after last year's Apple Cup when he talked about Mike Leach and hoping that he would still be the coach there for a long time because of the fact that he never made any adjustments to deal with, you know.
Thinking about the Apple Cup, I mean, we saw there was definitely speculation after seeing Mike Leach's quotes after the Apple Cup about recruiting classes that maybe he's somebody who would be interested in finding like a more developed program in a place that's not in Pullman, right? And we could see an Apple Cup that's very different.
You're saying that Mike Leach is going to be they should have hired Mike Leach as the next head coach of the Huskies. That's what I'm getting from this.
Yes.
I honestly wanted Leach when they hired Sark.
Oh, God.
It was a long time ago.
I don't really think his shit won't work in Seattle.
Didn't maybe know, you know, Leach's personality to its fullest extent at that point.
Oh, my God. But
Which, by the way... Mike Leach's comment was about you guys say they have a top 10 recruiting class every year over there. I just pointed out this year's recruiting class is their highest ranked in ESPN at 14th. They have not ever had a top 10 recruiting class.
It's all about the story. he's creating facts for the take.
Well,
you know what I mean?
No way would have gotten that idea.
Okay, so I'm hopeful though. I'm nervous but hopeful.
Good. I'm glad you
I mean, I, it's this is a scary time, right? We're not we're in the hands of a coach who has never coached a single game before.
And that's going to be a major adjustment because there's a difference between leading a unit and managing an entire team.
And that's the thing where it's like there's the quote from George R. R. Martin. But what about Aragorn's tax policies, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like we know that Jimmy Lake is very good at being a defensive coordinator. I listened to that Bridge Road too, but but there's more to it than that, right? What does Jimmy Lake, what is he going to do on offense? Because now he's in charge of everything.
Yep.
Even if he's the head coach and there will be an offensive coordinator as well,
but
his decision is what is ultimately going to matter. How aggressive is Jimmy Lake going to be? How conservative is he going to be? What type of offense does he want to run? We don't know those things. We know what he can do with a secondary and a defense.
Does he like to go for it on fourth down? All things like that in terms of in-game strategy. But everybody's got to make that transition at some point. And we've seen a lot of coaches from the Chris Peterson tree do that, you know, within the Pac-12. I mentioned earlier Jonathan Smith at Oregon State, who has that program headed in the right direction to the point where, you know, they tied UW in the Pac-12 North standings this year and lost the tiebreaker because the Huskies won head-to-head. Justin Wilcox at Cal, that was his first head coaching job, someone who had also been a defensive coordinator both at UW and then, I guess he wasn't defensive coordinator at Boise State, but had coached under Chris Peterson there. And, you know, now has Cal had a disappointing season because of their injuries at quarterback.
They also
in particular.
Finished ahead of UW in the Pac-12 North, though.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No. Oregon State didn't finish ahead of, by the way. Did Oregon State tie UW?
Cal tied with UW
and
finished ahead of them because of the tiebreaker.
Oh, no. This is horrifying news. I actually think that this is kind of a good thing, though, because
what is kind of a good thing? Chris Peterson leaving?
No. In terms of the timing of Jimmy Lake taking over, like the fact that it isn't coming off the heights of, you know, one of the great UW seasons under Chris Peterson, it sets expectations, I think, more appropriately for, well, definitely did. I don't know how the three-team tiebreaker worked between Oregon State and Cal and UW. I don't know how Oregon State and Cal fared head-to-head against each other. So they could have all been tied on the tiebreaker. But it sets him up for more appropriate expectations that you're coming off of, you know, a 7-5 regular season as opposed to like a 10-2 regular season. Because I think this team is poised to be better next year than it was this year in terms of, like I talked about, the young secondary or the young defense secondary in particular. And then we'll see what happens on offense. Jacob Eason's return is a big question mark there, what he's going to decide vis-a-vis the NFL draft. And then the other big question, you sort of alluded to it, is what's Bush Hamden's future as offensive coordinator?
I mean, it's a decision that's now up to Jimmy Lake, which I think we have a sense of where we would lean.
I suspect there might have been a change had Chris Peterson stayed on as head coach. I mean, just the results this year kind of spoke for themselves offensively. I mentioned the Football Power Index efficiency earlier and, you know, UW's defense being in the top 16 each of the last 4 years. The offense ranked 49th in that category this season, which is not good enough.
I just want to caution. There's obviously excitement with a new coach. You think, oh, well, maybe these problems won't exist anymore. This new coach will fix this thing, right? And maybe they will. But that means that there are going to be other problems that open up.
Sure.
I just want to caution a Jacob Eason, Jake Browning type situation.
I mean, I don't think anyone's out here saying, hey, thank God Chris Peterson resigned. Now we can finally get Jimmy Lake in the head job. This is a point. The point here is that we also shouldn't be panicking in the streets because this happened. Like, UW is, I think, in good hands and in good position to continue to succeed in the future.
Okay.
But I think the last question we should ask in this segment of the podcast is,
We're obviously rooting for Jimmy Lake.
Did that need to be said?
No, I'm just saying that like it would be excellent if things went just as well under Jimmy Lake as they did under Chris Peterson. And I'm excited about the possibility of that happening.
I also wish for the Husky football team to be successful. I think the last question I wanted to address here is kind of what are appropriate expectations for UW on a season-to-season basis? Interestingly, this was a question that came up to Coach Pete ahead of the Apple Cup after the Colorado loss last week. And his comment was, we should be competing for the Pac-12 championship. That's the goal, and that's what we should be able to do. I mean, I don't think you can mean that literally on an annual basis. It's not like the season is a disappointment just because they don't win the Pac-12 championship. I mean, you know, 2017, they went to a New Year's Six bowl game, but were not Pac-12 champions. I still think that was a good year.
They were competing for the Pac-12 championship.
Yes,
though.
And tied for the North Championship.
This year, they had no chance at the Pac-12 championship as of...
After the Oregon loss.
Yeah.
No, I
so
I agree.
This was a
this
season
fell short
season.
Of expectations for sure.
And it really depends on what type of program that this is. You know, like, is there going to be? There hasn't been a West Coast program since USC, really, that has been maybe. I guess Oregon's kind of reign was after that, where there was a sustained level of competing for a national championship. And
I don't think that's a realistic expectation for UW. I mean, just the resources
like,
in the Pac-12 are not the same.
What
as
are
what you
these
have in
resources?
The
What's the difference? What is the difference?
I mean, just the level of money that's being put into the football program is not the
By
same.
By whom? How does the University of Washington not have the kind of money to put in the program that Auburn has? Like, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Their fans are much more passionate about college football
What's
than
the
people
difference?
In Seattle are.
What is the difference? There's so much more money in general in
Seattle. Do I need to direct you to the here if it just means more SEC commercials? Like, this is a ridiculous take.
I'm not saying it's a take. I'm just saying put more money into it.
There's
the
not,
money is
there's
there.
No, there isn't. No, it isn't. Like, they're trying to get the money to put together a men's basketball practice facility. That's the focus right now. Like, and they, you know, they obviously redid all the team, you know, facilities when they redid Husky Stadium, which was not long ago, but still, I mean, and also like the fan atmosphere at Husky Stadium is not going to compare to what you're getting on a week-to-week basis in the SEC.
Why?
Because people don't care as much about football here.
That's it.
And college football in particular, because it's a much more of a transient city now. You don't... All right, but this is
I'm
a
just,
weird tangent to get stuck
this
on during
is the
this
University
podcast.
Of Washington. Like, this is a football program with history to it. It's in a major city, and it's a major college.
I mean,
like, what doesn't UW have to offer? There's money coming in, I assure you.
But not, it's not SEC money. Like, you just gotta let that
All
one
right,
go.
Fine, whatever.
I mean, I think, and here's
you're
a way
saying that no West Coast team can ever consistently compete for a national championship.
USC is the one exception. I think USC could consistently compete for national championships if they had the right coach in place. Like, well, obviously, we've seen that. And, you know, it might be a little different now. At that point, they were LA's premier football team. The Huskies are not going to be Seattle's premier football team at this point. It's just not possible. Because a lot of people in Seattle didn't go to the University of Washington, but everyone in Seattle can be a Seahawks fan.
Okay.
But I think if you're ranking the Pac-12 programs in terms of like their potential, like on paper, USC is clearly number one, and then I think it's between UW and Oregon for number two.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'll accept it.
Like, Oregon is not in a major city, but they have the Nike factor, which is always going to, you know, the Phil Knight factor is always going to be an equalizer for Oregon. And, you know, UW and Oregon have been the two premier programs over the last 5 years here with Stanford in the mix.
Basically,
as well.
What I'm saying, though, is that there is a void.
In Utah.
There is a void on the West Coast of if you can put together a program that competes at this level, you could win the Pac-12 every single year if you wanted to.
I don't know how we got from this.
It's what Clemson did in the ACC.
We're very concerned about replacing a legendary coach to UW can win the Pac-12 every
That's
single year.
That's what I'm saying, though. I'm saying that having the next Justin Wilcox or the next...
Jonathan Smith?
Jonathan Smith is not enough. That's not enough.
But again, you have to grade everything.
We're like,
relative.
Oh, he could go somewhere? Where was Jimmy Lake going?
You have to... I mean, I don't know the specific place, but there was going to be interest in him. You have this, I mean, you have to grade everything relative to the potential. First off, Jonathan Smith took over a program that was in the dumps. He's not taking over a team that has gone to the New Year's Six Bowl game three of the previous 4 years. So that's not really a fair comparison. But also, if we're ranking Pac-12, if we're going back to that ranking of Pac-12 teams by potential, Oregon State is either 11th or 12th. It's between them and Wazoo. And Wazoo has, you know, outperformed that Oregon State has shown the potential to outperform that in the past, but you know, that's a different expectations, and Cal might be 10th.
Okay.
So.
All right. No, I agree. I'm excited about this.
All right. Should we wrap up by talking about Chris Peterson's legacy as UW football coach? I mean, he's clearly the second best Husky football coach of our lifetimes. There's not even an argument about that. I think if you look at the modern era, like post-1960 of UW football, it's probably between him and Jim Owens is the second greatest coach after the Dogfather. And I would say I lean Chris Peterson's direction, even though they didn't have the longevity.
Yeah, fuck Jim Owens.
Well, like, I mean, there's some troubling racial stuff back in that period. Okay. And also, like, he had some, like, 2-9 and 1-9
years. You also hate him because there's a statue of him.
I don't hold that against him. I think he demanded the statue. So I think that Chris Peterson is probably the second greatest UW coach of the modern era.
I mean, what he did with this, the program was not in a bad place when he took it over. It was in a very good place in a lot of ways.
It was an improving place.
And had won, Coach Sark had won 10 games, I believe, in his last season.
Eight and four in the regular season, and they won the bowl game to get to 9-4.
Nine games in his in his last regular season. But the program was in a good place. They were around the top 25. They were competing. But the thing that Chris Peterson does and was capable of doing was taking this program that was in a good place and getting them to the college football playoff. I think there are only two Pac-12 teams that have ever participated in the playoff. And the Huskies were one of them. So it is an important thing that he was able to achieve. Chris Peterson is the good to great guy, yep. Right? Chris Peterson is, here are all of your problems. I'm going to tighten them up and make them strengths. And it was under him that UW became known for having an excellent defense and for putting defensive players, like you mentioned, in the NFL year after year after year after year, drafted high too.
Yeah.
These are not 6th, 7th round picks. These are not surprise players. I mean, it's something that he did at Boise State also. When you look around throughout the NFL, there are so many Boise State and so many UW players. Chris Peterson has had a generation of players having an impact in the NFL.
Like, I was observing to you that I didn't even know that former Seahawks nickel corner Jamar Taylor had played at Boise State until I was doing the Jimmy Lake research, and he was one of the players cited in his bio.
And there's
bio.
A lot of players like that. I mean, he had Josh Wilson as, I think, a first-round pick in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, but Chris Peterson led us to heights where the expectation was that they were going to win and compete for the Pac-12 championship every year. Even when they didn't do it, we went into the season thinking that this team could compete for that, and it's because of Chris Peterson.
He got Husky fans back to the level of arrogance where 1-7-5
That's
season
could
seem like a disaster.
That is where we should be! That's what when they were like, what should the Husky football be? The expectations be year after year? He's like, well, I think Husky fans should be pretty snobby about the whole thing. They should expect to go to the Rose Bowl because they did like 3 years in a row in the early 90s.
Yep.
Not a single time for like 15 years after that. But, you know, that's where we expect to be every single year as Husky fans. And that's where we were under Chris Peterson.
So I think if you're looking at the strengths, obviously, as you mentioned, the repeated trips to New Year's Six games. And then the other thing that stands out from his resume, without question, and particularly right now, is the 6-0 record in Apple Cups. Like, that's not as important a rivalry, I don't think, to Husky fans at this point, as the Oregon rivalry, which also...
Would prefer he was 6-0 in that one.
Not 6-0 in that one, as it turns out. 2-4 in that one, but ended the streak.
70 points in Autzen.
Seven touchdown victory. So that was nice. Now, if you're looking at the one negative on the resume, it is probably the lack of bowl success. The fact that they couldn't break through against these elite programs from the SEC in particular. I guess that was only one of the bowl games, but the Auburn game as well.
The Big Ten in particular.
Yes, the SEC and the Big Ten both.
It just felt like a matter of time, though. That's why this news is so shocking, where it was like... There was this first generation of Coach Pete guys, and it was like they're just getting better and better and better. Like the recruiting classes you talked about. What if UW is able to coach players like Chris Peterson is able to coach players?
Yeah.
But they have a top 10 recruiting class. Yeah. Like there's a difference between those two things. He turned the offensive line into a strength at UW, which is something that hadn't ever been for a decade before then. It's just like all these little things, the offensive line, the defensive line. Chris Peterson went out and got the players that are hard to get.
The players that you exclusively want teams to recruit.
It's just, it's easy to find good wide receivers. We know that it is.
Yeah, it wasn't actually so easy for the Huskies to find good wide receivers some of the time.
And Chris Peterson went out and got those players. And it was like, this was the first generation. There was one rebuilding year. And then he was going to come back more ferocious than ever. And that's when the Huskies were really going to compete at a national level. And we're never going to get to see that. And hopefully we will under Jimmy Lake. And he'll be able to continue what Chris Peterson has built with this program. But it's a sad day to see him go.
Well, you just wrap up the podcast. I feel like I still had more to say.
Okay.
I mean, you talked about it earlier in terms of, you know, the holistic personality of Chris Peterson as a coach, not just the football aspect. I mean, if you look at kind of what you want as a fan of a program, like, obviously the winning is a given. The ability to recruit at a high level, that's pretty much a given. But also, you know, the success academically that the Huskies enjoyed under Chris Peterson and the worldview, you know, talking to players about politics, taking them on trips whenever they, you know, traveled to road games to make sure that they, you know, learned about culture, something bigger than football. And that's, I think, a big part of his legacy as well. One of my favorite Peltoncast segments ever was the an airing of grievances, I guess, where I borrowed the Silicon Valley term Rigby to be, wouldn't trade Coach Pete for anybody, but, and then proceeded to complain about his decision-making on fourth downs in the Arizona State loss a couple years ago. But that to me stands out because it wasn't just about, you know, the X's and O's necessarily or the success on the football field that was a factor in that. The only, you know, there's obviously coaches who, from that standpoint, as good as Chris Peterson has been, you would trade him for Nick Saban. But in terms of just the holistic aspect, that's where I wouldn't trade Chris Peterson for anyone.
Chris Peterson just handles his biz.
Yeah.
And his being about more than football may be the reason that we are where we are today.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like he had to have other interests.
Well, anything else on his legacy? Or you already wrapped it up, so. I mean, obviously, we'll continue to cover this story as we learn more about Chris Peterson's decision, learn more about, you know, the future of the Husky program under Jimmy Lake, and look forward to the future for this Husky program.
I guess the last thing that I want to say, if I can wrap it up one more time,
yeah,
is we've talked about this before. There's an expectation at UW, not for the success and all of that stuff, which there is, but there's an expectation at UW that they are going to be an intimidating defensive team. And it's something that we didn't see for an extremely long time after Don James, even in the periods of success that they had. We never saw them be a fierce, hard-hitting, intimidating defensive team.
I mean, I think the 2000 Rose Bowl team was a pretty strong defensive team.
You can say a single team, though, not a generation.
Sure.
And Chris Peterson got the Huskies back to the Husky football that we knew and love.
Chris Peterson and Jimmy Lake and Pete Kwiatkowski who never gets nearly enough credit for this.
And that's what we have to thank him for the most, right? And that's what I think his tenure, it's the success and all of that stuff. But he had UW playing like we want to see UW playing every single Saturday when somebody comes into Montlake and they're in the greatest setting in all of college football. And they're getting pushed around. And
when that someone is inevitably Wazoo.
Chris Peterson did that with Jimmy Lake at his side. And hopefully Jimmy Lake will continue that tradition at UW going forward.
Well, on that note, thanks for listening to this special edition of the Peltoncast. And perhaps not the final special edition of the day, depending on the outcome of tonight's Monday night game.
It's going to be a long day.
It sure is.
Today we mourn for purple. Later tonight, I hope that we mourn for purple again.
Oh, well done.